You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
To another episode of the World's Team on Blogging the Boys Network in partnership with SB Nation. I am Meg Murray and I am joined as always by Paul Stewart. Hey Paul, how's it going?
Not too bad. Just happy to be here and talk about the offseason and talk about Elephant Cowboys. We're pretty much seeing that we're not in the playoffs anymore. So
yeah, in true Cowboys fashion, they've kept it interesting for us. So
yeah, lots to talk about already. The off-season's already started. We're already talking about the rumours and all the new coaches and past coaches now leaving and stuff like that. So it's quite chaotic.
Is it just me or has Jerry been talking more than usual? Maybe the same as usual, but about different things. Maybe that's what it is.
He's definitely stirring the pot, I think. With some of his comments regards to some players he's been looking at and stuff like that, I'm just like, that's just going to cause absolute pandemonium within Cowboys Nation. Like, it really is.
That's his bread and butter.
He's like the Joker. He just likes to see the world burn and he actually makes more money off it.
That's true. He just lines his pockets every time we talk about him, which, I mean, we are prone to do. So yeah. We have the Pro Bowl this weekend, or am I like making that up in my brain?
Nope. Yep. The Pro Bowl is this weekend. The action pretty much starts Friday, yesterday, and today. Then there's the flag football, which is, remember, there's no contact in the Pro Bowl this year. It's just flag football now. So all the skills stuff, I think that's happening. I need to double check the schedule. I've not really been paying much attention to it because
Occurred to me that it was like yesterday and today. Like,
I know.
So that just goes to show you that even with the new format, I am just not tuned into what is going on with the Pro Bowl.
To me, I'm just using the Pro Bowl as an excuse just to chill out. Like, it's cool to see some of our players, like some Micah Parsons and stuff like that, get the recognition of being in the Pro Bowl and stuff like that. If there's one thing for a player, it's to show an acknowledgement of achievement, of having a great season.
Yeah.
And that's the reward, is to actually go out there and show their skills in the Pro Bowl.
If you don't make it, you know, to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
And since we haven't, we have Tyler Biadasz replacing Jason Kelce for the weekend. So
rightfully deserved, in my opinion.
You've been telling us how great he's improved this whole year. So tell me more.
Yeah, so Tyler Biadasz is, to me, has been one of the biggest improvements in our offensive line this year. Since he's been training with Duke Miniweber in the offseason, along with Terrence Steele, who's an odd guy who would have been in the Pro Bowl. But we're seeing a much more improvement from the blocking, from pass protection, and even the communication between him and Dak and his offensive line. So I'm more than happy. I'm over the moon for Tyler. And don't get me wrong, like, the past two seasons, he has had his critics, but this year really turned it around.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have been his critics, even though I feel as though you and I have both been kind of high on his potential from the jump, but it's been good to see that come to fruition, and I'm really excited for him to get to strut his stuff this weekend. Have a good time.
Yeah, it might actually show off some other skills that he's not really, obviously within the O-line, now there's the challenges and stuff like that, like Oh, but the agility, your speed and stuff like that, which is something you don't normally see with offensive linemen. But this is where the Pro Bowl comes to show that you can show off your athleticism a lot more rather than just being a blocker and being in pass protection and basically practicing your snaps. So it'll be very interesting to see what they do for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be something for you guys to check out when you tune in to the Pro Bowl. If you do, or if you check out the highlights later, make sure you check out Tyler's. We'll see how he's doing. Tyler is going to have a new coach coaching the O-line. We have Mike Solari, who has just joined the squad. He's the O-line coach. He's been in the game for a long time. I feel like Paul knows more about him than I do, so I'll let him.
Yeah, so if you want to go all the way back to his starting career as a coach, it was back from 1976 from Mission Bay High School. But along the way in his career, he's been an offensive lineman coach for Boise State, Cincinnati, Kansas, and Pittsburgh. Then he joined Tom Landry as the assistant offensive line coach and special teams coach. Then he kind of went on to play for, well, back then it was the Phoenix Cardinals, which is now Arizona Cardinals. Then he's had a couple of stints with San Francisco over the years where he did win a Super Bowl in the 90s in 1984 as their tight ends and assistant offensive line coach. Then back to Kansas a couple of times. Then he's with Seattle, back to San Francisco. Then Green Bay to meet up with Mike McCarthy in 2015. And then he's went back to Seattle for the past 3 years, and now he's with us. So wealth of experience, say to the least.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that shook me was like that he coached under Tom Landry. I mean, that's kind of
important. Yeah, your reaction was quite what?
Like, back up, tell me more.
Yep, so that was back in 1987 and 88. That was just right before Landry pretty much was no longer the coach.
Yeah. And I mean, so his last job was with the Seahawks. He is going to inherit like kind of a wealth at O-line. I mean, I'm sure I hope to, you know, make it better in the off season, but he's got some pretty good talent to work with.
Yeah.
Into the next season.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't know too much about like Seattle, how they were last year. All we know that Geno Smith was the third sacked quarterback in the league. So saying that does not sound promising, but we don't know the situation where if their O-line was completely injured or whatever and that. So we don't know. And again, it could be down to Geno Smith himself being too long in the pocket for all we know. So we've not really watched much film on that. So but for him to come over to Dallas, he's got a really great opportunity to have Zach Martins, Tyler Smith, Biadasz Steele coming back. We don't know what the situation with Tyron Smith is going to be because there's the whole talk about with his with the salary cap and stuff like that. Is he going to be a June 1st casualty and stuff like that? So that's just, again, all in the rumor mill right now. But he is going into a much more better situation, I think. And he's going to be reunited with Mike McCarthy, where he had success there in 2015. Didn't win the Super Bowl, but he actually showed some great promise helping like offensive lineman who's helped protect Aaron Rodgers that season. So but yeah, I'm actually quite excited about this actually. Like when you compare him to like Joe Philbin, and don't get me wrong, like Joe Philbin, I thought last year, well, this season had a much more fully improved, and I was quite surprised that he was let go. But when you were bringing in the guy that has pretty much always been an offensive lineman coach, pretty much for, I'm just trying to calculate this out in my head here, 1976, so that's like less, like 42 years?
Yeah. That's a long time.
42 years, he's pretty much been an offensive lineman coach for all this time. So all that knowledge, you might have a different style of blocking, different style of pass protection, different technique to kind of introduce in terms of hand grip and stuff like that. So all those wee small factors do play a massive part. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table.
Same. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his, we don't know what his style is, obviously. He's a student of the game, though. If you're in football for 42 years, like, there you see a lot of changes and where things are trending and stuff like that. So that'll be cool to have that experience, you know, with those guys.
And one thing to notice as well is, like, he's not exactly moving up to be, well, he's had a go being an offensive coordinator. He's obviously didn't like it as much, and he decided to go back to O-line coaching. So it's kind of, in a way, what Dan Quinn was. Like, Dan Quinn was a head coach. Sorry, he was a DC for Seattle, then he became a head coach. Now he's back as a DC, and he's happy being that. So it kind of feels like that's the same way with Mike Solari as well. He's happy being more of an offensive lineman coach than taking that extra step up. Like, he knows what his bread and butter is, pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's – people are always like, oh, well, if he's so good at this, like, he needs to move on and be a head coach or whatever. Sometimes it's just not what people want to do. Like, having that specialized field and, like, really feeling like you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Would be enough.
Yes, see, like, for at least I'm hypothetically speaking myself, like, I would never want to be an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. I would be happy just to be more of a defensive lineman coach or an O-line coach, because that's the position I played and I have coached that before. Ooh. Like, anything, like, I couldn't tell wide receivers what to do. I couldn't tell running backs what to do. Like, I would just need to know what my O-line or D-line are doing. Like, and I would just coach the hell out of them for that. So I can relate to how Solari is. Like, he's kind of saying, what's the point me coaching something else if I don't have any experience in?
Yeah, like, I mean, do what so, you do best. I think that's
exactly, think, yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of other things happened this week, mostly just people talking a lot, people being Jerry, mostly, more than anything.
No surprise, no surprise there.
No surprise, no surprise. I want to get your thoughts, though, on a couple things that he said. One being something that I told you from, like, day one that we were going to hear. The OBJ talks are resuming, allegedly.
That will never end, won't it?
I told you. I said, just wait. He's going to bring that up, like, as soon as we get, if we get out of the running for the Super Bowl, like, that will be one of the first things that he goes on about.
So what I will say now is, I think this actually becomes more of a better fit now for Odell Beckham, because obviously we're getting rid of Kellen Moore. We're more likely to go into the more West Coast style of offense, which will actually complement more for OBJ and CeeDee Lamb in particular. So I think if we were to bring Beckham in, then it'd be more complimentary towards him as the player. So again, for me, I think if we were to bring him in, he's coming off an injury. And I don't care what anyone says, him running across the field with a cameraman running with him is not really impressive. That's just it's just an advertisement. It's like, if you want to see actual game film, show me a game film where you're actually going one-on-one with someone from a coach's point of view. So until I see that, then I'm going to be very stalemate on it. So, but Dallas do decide to bring him in, make sure he's got the medical and that, then cool, whatever, then I'll be an OBJ fan if that's the case. So, but until then, I'm just keeping my hands crossed over on the now, because I still think we're going to draft a wide receiver in the draft as well.
Yeah, I mean, and even if we do, though, like, for example, we did that with Tolbert, and that didn't, you know, pan out yet. It's just one of those things where, do you want to go with some veteran experience or not? I get what you're saying about his injury, and I think that's exactly why he didn't work out, and, like, that's why nothing ever came to fruition with that contract, is because he wasn't going to be ready this year. Yeah. And I think it's okay to acknowledge that. For example, I will stop beating this dead horse at some point, but, like, Michael Gallup was not well. We know that now. Like, he was not able to perform to the best of his ability. He would say that. Anyone else would say that. It's just glaringly obvious. It's okay to take the time. Like, you don't need to, like, shove yourself out there, which is kind of how I feel Michael. I'm not saying he did that. I know he wanted to be back, but they were, like, kind of like, you have to come back to, like, complete this wide receiver room, because there's, like, we've been saying,
I feel
didn't
bad.
Have enough guys in there.
I actually feel bad for Michael Gallup in a way, because it kind of felt like he was kind of forced to return sooner than expected. And the fans' expectations, because he signed that new contract, he's got that target on his back. And because he didn't get a 1,000-yard season or 10 touchdowns, people are jumping on the fence on him already. I'm sorry, but he just came back from a serious major injury. The fact that he actually got like 400 yards is actually quite remarkable considering. And then when you also, when you look at the fact that Dak was primarily targeting CD anyway, so it's not Michael Gallup's fault.
Yeah, and to the people that like are frustrated with Gallup's performance, I would just like to say again, like this Jerry and like they did not do enough to put together a solid wide receiver crew core.
And I
Like
think
it's obvious.
didn't Jerry or something like that actually said something like that? He's like, if there's one thing that you wish he actually would like to kind of look back and fix going into this season was the wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, but he did stand by his Amari Cooper thing, which is
Oh yeah, that's what
so trash to me. That's absolute trash. I
that's absolute baloney.
was like, if
I'm
you want to
sorry.
hang on to this bad take so badly, like, go for it. But, like, you're embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I think the majority of Cowboys Nation see right through that.
It's like, he was what? So upset about like him missing games because of COVID protocol. There were other like people on this team that had the same thing, but it just wasn't Amari Cooper. So like he used that as a way to like justify his decisions. And I'm sorry, but your decision was bad. And we said it was bad then, and it looks a heck of a lot worse now.
It's definitely bad considering what we traded them for. Like, if we got a second round pick or a late first, then yeah, fantastic.
I don't think you'd get
Because
a late first, but second maybe.
when you look at it, AJ Brown, like of all people, he's not an elite wide receiver, but yet he got traded for a first round, which is absolutely bananas to me. Like, that's just like, that's my opinion. I don't like. AJ Brown is a good wide receiver for the Dirty Birds, the Eagles, right? But I wouldn't say he's better than Amari Cooper. No chance.
I tend to agree with you there. I mean, and just, I don't know. It's really hard because you look at last season and you can like argue performance or whatever. We know Dak was hurt multiple in different ways last year. So it's like hard to really gauge how like he could have been this year. I think he would have been fantastic. And I think that we really missed out on that. And I like someday we'll all collectively get over it, but if he keeps talking like this, it's gonna take me a lot longer.
I'll be very interested to see like what Cooper would have been like under Mike McCarthy's actual offensive play calling rather than Kellen Moore's.
Yeah. Well, and even just like a fully healthy Dak Prescott and like a CD that's taken off. And who knows if CD would have had the chance to if he had stuck around or not. We don't know. But it's just, you can't, I don't know. That's why it's OBJ is still interesting to me because you don't know, we don't know yet like what his ceiling is going to be and like how he could help out this offense. You can still go out and get another guy too, and have like CD, another guy, OBJ and T.Y. Hilton if you get him back again. So I don't know. There are a lot of things to watch, a lot of moving parts in the off season, but the OBJ talks, I like them still. I'd like, obviously, I'm not saying sign him blindly. I'm saying still check him out. Why not? But he did say there are two. I'll just lump them together. Essentially, they're committed to Dak Prescott, and they sound committed to Ezekiel Elliott. How do you feel about that?
I'm absolutely fine with that. I mean, which is what if we were hypothetically speaking, if you were to try and get away from Dak and get away from Zeke, as of this season, the penalty and the cap hit would be substantial. It would actually damage the Dallas Cowboys. So, I think having a fresh approach in coaching within, like, with McCarthy taking the reins, then you've got a new O-line coach and stuff like that. It's going to be different. It's going to test Dak, especially, like, if he can fall under this different style of offense. And if it likes a Zeke, are we going to get the same Zeke that was under the more Scott Linehan type of tutelage? Like, he was the more main star running back, or is he going to be more second fiddle under Kellen Moore? Like,
support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, like, how different the offense is going to be. I think it'll be more structured around Dak. And if they are going to keep Zeke, they probably keep that in mind. I think if you are able to work out a deal with Zeke to make it a little more team friendly, I'm not saying he has to cut his overall earnings. Like, you made a deal with him, you made a deal with him. And it sounds like he doesn't really want that part to change. But if you can restructure it in some way and make it more team friendly, I think that would be a really smart thing to do. And we'll see if he's, you know, willing to or not. That'll remain to be seen. I think I could see a world where that would be true, though. So we'll see that. I just think that Zeke and Dak complement each other a lot. So I see the merit and value of keeping them both. I know everyone is like, get rid of Zeke, get rid of Zeke. I am not in that camp. I have never been in that camp. I will not be in that camp. Even if he does leave, I'll be like, oh, well, that sucks.
I don't think Zeke's not going anywhere, in my opinion.
I don't think so either.
And I don't want him to leave. I don't want him to leave. Like, he's been a founding quarter. He's been an absolute rock for Dallas. Like, yeah, you can criticize Zeke's last two seasons. Like, he's not been the running back you're expecting. But end of the day, it's the play calling that dictates the style of runs. Like, if you're asking Zeke to run in the inside, then he's going to run in the inside. It's up to the O-line to own up those gaps. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if there's one thing that we were struggling, it was in the A-gap, like, inside run. That's the one thing we did kind of struggle with. But when it comes to the outside run, that was more on giving it to Tony Pollard because he had that more burst. But we were utilizing Ezekiel Elliott as that battering ram. Like,
yeah. Well, like, and it would, you know, help you break through a little bit. But you make a valid point about, you know, there's a lot of things that go into his success as a running back. Play calling and the O-line being a large part of that.
And just to add as well, like, I mentioned before, like, the Scott Linehan, like, when you look at how Zeke performed and the style of play that Zeke played, like, he was more fluid under Linehan, whereas, and this is no dig to Kellen Moore, whatever, but I just kind of feel like he just didn't really appreciate Ezekiel Elliott's type of style of running, and he tried to use him for something that he's not really built for. Like, yeah, that's just it's more of an observation.
His skills as a blocker too. I know that's not like why you hire him, but like that is a huge help.
Yeah, he is without a doubt the best pass protection running back in the NFL, hands down. Like, people like can mention, oh, what about Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry cannot block for anything, despite how big and muscular and how frightening his physique is. He cannot block to help protect Brian Tannehill at all.
Or whoever's back there at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think you and I are in agreement on that. I'm sure there are differing opinions out there. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's Jerry's world. And we're just living in it. That to also say, I sent this to you, like, right before we started recording. Jerry talking about Max Duggan. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the quarterback from TCU. I'm not sure what to make of it. Personally, for me, I find Jerry is blowing smoke and mirrors once again. He's basically trying to hype up players by trying maybe get other teams to bite and maybe look to get them. Now, will we draft a quarterback in this year's draft? I will say yes. Will it be Max Duggan? I don't think so. Like, I don't know where he's been kind of rated so far right now. I've not done any scouting on quarterbacks at all, so I can't really put an estimate what round he might go in the draft. But it'd be very interesting to see. But I will say we will, at some point in the later rounds, we will probably draft in our quarterback. And it's something that Mike McCarthy's always kind of done in previous years. Like, we're doing it, Shane, and he did it with quite a lot at Green Bay. Like, you always try and get, like, projects coming in, like, to see if they can really make an impact.
Yeah, it'll be a Mike McCarthy quarterback project that you'll see. We'll see if it's Max or not. I think you make a good point, though. Like, Jerry does like to say that he does the smoke and mirrors and the poker face. He did not do that last season in free agency. So, you know, we'll see if he's a little better and close to the best this time. But sometimes when he yaps too much, he overshares and then tells everyone things, and then you get nothing for a great wide receiver or a good O-lineman. Just saying.
Yeah, I think we're going to be really tight what we're going to be doing in free agency. I can't remember at the top of my head. Lauren and Graham on UK Cowboys on Thursday were talking about, like, the salary cap and that. We could save money if Jordan Lewis goes. I think it was like $4 million on the cap. But anything else, like, we're on a tight rope of actually bringing players in. We've got enough room for the draft. Maybe one or two players, depending on what the type of deal is in free agency. But I don't expect to be any big names. Like, well, maybe Beckham if it's a reduced deal potentially. But in terms of, like, re-signing the players like LV and stuff like that, that's definitely something to reconsider as well. It's like, we need to make sure we're very cautious of what type of deals we're offering. It's a lot to think about. Like, Steve and Jay will have a lot on their plate to try and balance the books this season.
Yeah, and I hope they just keep in constant contact with Will McClay while they're doing these things.
I'm sure they will. Will McClay is pretty much want to be in amongst this as well, because he'll definitely want to say, I don't care, I want this guy. Just let me know how we can actually bring this all together and balance the books. But, I mean, despite the Amari Cooper trade and somewhat now kind of looking back, the Randy Gregory, let him go, I'm actually not as mad about that anymore. But when you look back, the front office actually did a not too bad job considering going forward. Like, some of the decisions that they did do actually kind of worked out in our favor, like bringing in Dante Fowler and bringing in Jason Pierce for that experience role to come in and help out, like, Tyler and stuff like that. Like, those wee small signings that actually did help. And even later on during the season, bringing in T.Y. Hilton and Jonathan Hankins.
Yeah. lots of things to look at, you know, and then there's going to be obviously young talent coming in, young, cheaper talent, some of whom are playing in the Senior Bowl.
That's right. Yep. There's one guy in particular I'm looking at right now. It's North Dakota State offensive tackle, Chad Mauch, Mauch. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But this guy is an absolute mauler. When you look at him from a picturesque standpoint, he looks like Alex Kappa with the long hair as an O lineman and stuff like that. But his speed and agility and his aggression as an offensive tackle is ridiculous. There's a couple of clips that's going about on social media right now, going on heads up with just basically going head to head with the defensive line, and he absolutely smokes nearly every single defensive lineman. He had a couple of pancakes in there. He looked phenomenal. So his draft stock's definitely going to raise up. So that's definitely one guy I would love to try, and maybe we can maybe at some point in the future try and get him on the show when it comes to before the draft. So that'll be something that hopefully we can try and work something out.
Yeah, love to hear from him. You also brought up a Kogi Mock to us earlier.
Oh no, I was talking about Cody Mark, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Loach. I was like, that doesn't sound like who we were talking
No, no,
about.
no, no. It was Cody Mark I was talking about, yeah, from North Dakota State, the offensive tackle.
Okay. My bad. Is there anyone else
It's all
that
good.
stood out to you at the Senior Bowl?
I've not really watched too much, but this is mainly Mark has really caught my eye, and that's why I've really been paying attention right now. You know me, I'm always about the O line and defensive line, so that's been my main focus right now. Next week I'm going to start doing more scouting on defensive linemen, particularly Wintec nose tackles. I'm not really going to be looking at defensive ends as much this year, but because of are we going to bring Jonathan Hankins back? If not, then we definitely need to address that one tech position, the one that's going to be more heads up with the center and inside guard. So, because we've got enough three tech defensive linemen like Goldston, Odighizuwa. I don't see Neville Gallimore coming back, unfortunately, because I love Neville Gallimore. That's one of my favorite guys, like coming out of college. It's just unfortunate he's just not really stepped up to the plate for Dallas. So I don't see him getting his contract renewed. And we might be looking for an after ticket somewhere in the later rounds, but we're definitely going to be looking for like a one tech position nose tackle.
Yeah, goodness. There's a lot for us to look over, coming up on the draft. That's kind of the fun part though, like studying up on these guys.
See, this is
A little bit of pet cat and stuff like that, so.
the yeah. So, see, this is the really fun part for fans. It really is a game for the fans to play. Doing your scouting reports and basically predicting picks for other teams as well, and see how well you know the game type of thing, and how well you kind of think teams are more likely to choose such and such. Like, I mean, for Dallas right now, it could be anything.
Yeah.
It really is. I think it's really this year's going to be in a best player available scenario at pick number 26 in the first round. Like, there's cornerback where we don't know about Anthony Brown's situation, like, because he's coming back from injury. We might need another like corner, like really top tier cornerback to play alongside Diggs. We might need an actual stud of an offensive guard in the first round. There's the kid from Florida, the guard from, I can't remember the kid's name, but he's looking pretty decent as well. I will need to double check his name. I just cannot pronounce it, and I just don't want to screw it up. And there's who knows? It could be a wide receiver. Who knows? I just don't. The only position, and even linebacker, the only position I don't think it will happen is quarterback, running back, and let me see, defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, you and I will get into the weeds with these potential draftees coming up, so that'll be fun. But if you're looking for something right here, right now, definitely recommend checking out Jeff Kavanaugh. On Facebook. He does Facebook Lives. I'm sure it's also on YouTube.
Yeah, he's on YouTube as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so you can always watch that. He's watched like 20 guys already, and I was like, you are wild.
See, once the season's over for the Cowboys, it's immediately
off-season mode. He started a little early, but still, that's a lot of guys to get through and get some like grading on. But also, always check out Dane Brugler does a giant
the Holy Bible, Holy Bible, we call it.
So if you subscribe to The Athletic, you can get that for free. We definitely recommend subscribing to The Athletic because you get John Machota as well. So all the good stuff there. So if you want to check out any draft things, those are already in the works for you. So check those out, and we'll stay on top of that too.
Yep.
Okay, so there is a game in a week.
Yeah, a week and a Sunday.
We sure aren't playing in it, but the gosh darn Eagles are, and they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs. Give me your...
Sorry, you mean the Dallas Texans?
Yeah, those guys. Give me your prediction on how that game's going to go down.
I really don't know. I really want Kansas to beat them. I really do.
Yeah, I think that's a sentiment that's shared throughout a lot of the NFL. Even like, there's even people that are like Chargers fans and like Raiders fans that I know personally that are rooting for the Chiefs because they don't like the Eagles, which I found shocking because
they are the most hated fan base in the NFL. That's a fact.
They do have a song that goes like, no one likes us, we don't care. And I just want to point out that they absolutely do care. They just try to act hard, because if you say anything remotely bad about them, then they will freak out. And that sounds a whole lot like caring to me. Just wanted to point that out.
There we go. We just need to put a wee wig in that Philadelphia Eagles logo, and there we go. There's your Karen.
Yep. Every time they sing that song, I'm just like, you care so much. What are you talking about?
I know.
Yeah.
But back to what I'm kind of thinking for this game. Obviously, with Jalen Hurts as a threat, et cetera, et cetera. They've got a really great offensive line with Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, stuff like that. They've got, what's his name, Hassan Riddick on the defensive line as the linebacker as well. I really don't know. Like, I think Mahomes will basically terrorize their secondary for sure, but whether their O-line can step up to the plate against the Eagles' defensive line, I don't know. I think this is going to be a very closely contested Super Bowl, but I am going to give the edge to Kansas City just because it's Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes is one of those players that can just elevate everybody around him. Like, who was that MVS? I don't know how to say his last name. Like, he's not a nobody, but like, he's not like his usual go-to, and he made him look like a pretty gosh darn good wide receiver there. So
like, people like, don't really underestimate the great acquisitions Kansas City. They brought in like first stringer, second stringer wide receivers, and they're playing really good football collectively as a team for Patrick Mahomes right now, and we're seeing that. Like, whether he's got one ankle or not, he's still playing out there and he's balling out.
Well, so they think obviously the 2 weeks in between the games is really going to be crucial for him. It's going to be a big deal. So, you know, you're thinking he's going to be much healthier, you know, for the Super Bowl, which should help. And then I believe he does get some of his wide receivers back. I think Juju, I think. Don't quote me. But, you know, even if they aren't as healthy as they could be, like, Patrick Mahomes is just such an X factor that it's extremely hard to ignore that. And
he's proven
it. A lot of this team has been there before. It's not a big stage for them. They've done this. Or as big a stage, I should say.
Because I mean, put this in, for example, how many AFC Championship games has Patrick Mahomes been in the past 5 years? I think it's like, is it not like four out of five?
Yeah, I feel like it could be five. Could
yeah, like,
but yeah, like, at least four.
But he's almost been there every single time, and he's been to the Super Bowl twice already and once won, I believe.
Yeah, it's the funny thing is, like, I can talk about, like, the NFC East with such confidence, and then when it comes to like another team, I'm like, I don't know. Either way, they've been there before.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can't discount. Of course, there are guys. There might be guys on the Eagles that were
Yeah, Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham would still be there.
Yeah.
And this is really gonna hurt you. This one. Now, Ndamukong Suh is going to be in the Super Bowl this year.
Why would that hurt me?
Chris, he's just a nasty player.
He went to Nebraska, so I've watched him for a long time.
All right, okay. No, it's just the fact
he is a nasty player, but like sometimes nasty is good, sometimes it's bad.
Depending on what team you're playing for, though.
Sure. Yeah, there I don't want to be on the receiving end of his nastiness, that's for sure.
He has been playing a bit part in that. I don't think he's going to feature much in the game at all, but he's just there to pick up a nice Super Bowl ring, from his opinion. But yeah, it's I just if there's one thing that I want to see the most is to see that head coach of the Eagles cry. Honestly, I just like that would be the best cry Eagles cry moment.
Yeah. I'm not going to get too excited about it because I don't want it to not happen.
That means to say, what are you doing for the Super Bowl, actually?
I have truly no idea at this moment. The best guess I can give you is that I'll be with Jeff and all of that crew that day.
Well, you're going to be in for a surprise what I'm up to. Yeah, so I'm heading down to Leeds along with Mike coming up from Wales, and we're going to meet up with Jamie. So it's going to be a UK
Where
Cowboys.
Where's
Leeds? It's yeah. like in the middle. It's like in the middle of the UK.
Okay. What country? So, any specific country?
England.
There we go. I was like, here's the thing. This is actually like a big topic on TikTok right now. Is that like Americans get annoyed with everyone for assuming that we don't know geography, but when we get down to like cities, I need a little help.
Oh, that's what I don't know if you've ever played this game, but you ever played GeoGuessr?
No.
Oh, that is really good for see if you really want to build up your geography and stuff like that and learn like landscapes and stuff like that. It's like a Google Maps game. Pretty much you have to try and guess where it is.
You'll have to send me that. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just was like, for people who don't know where Leeds is, and there are obviously a bunch of soccer fans that listen to this, so they're probably like, Megan, shut up. I know where that is. So you guys are going to Leeds, the UK Cup?
Yes. It's going to be a messy night, so expect a silly phone calls, no doubt.
Sounds good. I hope there's some... Hope you get what was it? You had like flashing, colorful lights in your hotel room last year. Or something?
Oh no! Like if Mike does that ever again, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna swiftly kick him in the nuts for that.
I think he knows that though, so hopefully he'll plan accordingly.
Oh god, it was a nightmare.
Well, hopefully Jamie will be able to watch it better this year.
I think we're actually going to be staying at Jamie's, actually, I believe. So we're going to try and do like a bring all the equipment down and stuff like that, and try and do a live show from Jamie's house all together and stuff like that. So that'll be quite good.
Tune in for that. That'll be on the UK Cowboys channel, yeah?
Yeah, that'll be on that.
Becto. Everyone, make sure you are subscribed to them so you can check that out. They will be a hoot and a half. That when they get together, it's always a wild ride.
Ask if you can understand what we're saying, mind you.
That is a fair point. But
especially Jamie. Especially enough. Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie's the wild card there. It'll be entertaining for sure, that is to say. But yeah, so I think the sentiment here is go Chiefs. in a little Dallas forever, Philly for absolutely never, ever, ever in a million years.
Never, ever, never, ever.
Never, never, ever. All right, guys. There's always something going on in Cowboys Nation, so we are here to chat with you about it. I am at Meg Murray with 4Rs on Instagram and Twitter, and Paul is?
I am P-Stew.
P-Stew.
Where the hell did that come from?
From my heart is where it came from.
It's like, it's filled, like, full of brasses, like, P-Stew.
P-Stew. But as always, you guys can check out all the information that you need to know at bloggingtheboys.com. We have a podcast for you every single day, so check that out wherever you listen to podcasts, at the Blogging the Boys feed. Rate, review, subscribe. Tell Paul that you love his accent.
Yay.
And it's the best one, and it's better than Jamie's.
Oh, controversial.
I'm having the people hype you up in the reviews. Anyways,
you do realize you're going to get a tweet off of him later.
I welcome it. Anyways, we appreciate you guys so much, and we will see you next week.
Have a good one, folks. Go Cowboys.
Go Cowboys.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.